Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Warmaster Podcast, episode 176 with Paul and Sherwin and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Hello. I'm in the back now, Sherwin's in the front, and he's quite softly spoken, so I encourage you to speak loudly, Sherwin.
I shall try, sir.
That's it, with your best. I love that bit in The Guardians of the Galaxy where he's mocking. Well, he's not mocking Thor, he's trying to be Thor, isn't he? Star Lord. Yeah. This, sir, is my noble voice. Brilliant. Anyway, so we finished the event. Paul's driving home. Yeah. The traffic's awful.
Well, we've cut away onto A roads to try to avoid the traffic on the M1.
So hopefully.
It's one of those abstract road trips now.
Yeah, hopefully this works.
So I think we started about 2 hours away and we're still 2 hours away and we've driven for an hour or something stupid, or feels that way. Alright, so we've played two games each today, and then we'll talk about the wrap of the year, the wrap of 2022.
Yeah.
The god awful.
Spoiler, it was by John Cena.
Yeah.
What was?
The rap.
The 2022 rap. Featuring John Cena. Whoever he is, John Cena.
You can't see him, Barry.
Yeah, you can't see him.
Oh, is he a TV man? He's a movie star now.
Yeah.
He did.
He's like a real life ultramarine.
Yeah.
The specialist or something. The man.
The marine?
The marine.
He did originally. Yeah, he was the original guy for the marine. Now it's Mike the Miz.
There you go. So
The Biz Miz.
The Biz Miz. Straight to bargain bin DVD Marine 4.
Marine 4.
He's having fun.
Yeah, he's having fun.
He's getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, right. They're really like, I've seen a clip or two of some of them. They're really, you just can hardly watch them. They're that bad.
I'm not going to watch them. Yeah. So we met there. There's quite a few there today.
Eight people.
So it was Jim.
And there's a few people few of us were playing Ninth Age, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. There was Jim, and us four. There was Ian, YouTube sensation, and Steve.
Yeah.
And who else was there?
Adam.
Paul, the man that would be king.
Yeah.
Adam.
I haven't met Adam before. He had I'll be an army there.
Yeah,
I swear.
Yeah.
Is that everyone? Stephen, so. Ian,
Tony.
Yeah.
Tony.
Tony was there. Yeah, mate. Oh. He played Warmaster. He's played Ninth Age. Yeah.
Oh. I'm not sure I said hello to him. Maybe I did.
No, there was that bit where he talked to you and you blagged him.
Oh, shut up.
He was like, hey, Barry. You were like, no.
I tend not to blag people.
Ignored him and he just looked really downcast.
Yeah, I'm not signing it. Yeah.
But I'm going to listen to their podcast because they've been doing that for a long ass time. So I think it's called The Fantasy Podcast or something. So give them a listen. Give them a listen. It's a thankless job doing a podcast. You certainly don't do to make money. So give them a listen. Fantasy Podcast. The Ninth Age Podcast, I believe.
Yeah.
Right, so Paul, game one. What did we do, fella?
So I ended up playing you. I didn't realise I was committed to doing that. Yeah, like
you did commit. You just didn't remember committing.
I didn't remember committing. Really? Oh, okay.
No.
So I
stole Paul because we recorded a video game, and hopefully it worked all right.
Yeah. So okay. So I'd taken two lists along. The orcs were painted. The high elves were not, and it's on camera, so I had to use the orcs.
We had the world's busiest table. I think we've used it before, but I think we did it at 4x4, and I think this was 6x4, and it felt fucking chocked full of scenery. Chocked full.
Yeah.
I think Sherwin counted it was like 25 pieces or something.
Yeah. But it was tournament illegal by Paul's own tournament.
Tournament illegal.
That's true.
It certainly favoured the infantry, I will say that. So, although my infantry didn't do very well in game one at all.
No.
I mean, it's a fair point, Sherwin, so I will have to adjust.
So I played on this in game two against Barry. So Barry, knowing I took Albion, who were infamous for, chariots, told me, oh no, it's okay, you should play on this table. I refuse not to leave this table. Then when sort of questioning the amount of terrain and being told by Paul, you can take some off, but no, Barry went, no, players is.
Rules is written.
Yeah.
So I let you change your list.
You took off something from your list to put more infantry on.
No, I didn't. I took off a unit of birds, or whatever they're called. Demon Flyers and brought on a hero. Oh,
okay, yeah, that's what you
Because I needed to do Anyway, game one was ruined by the fact that I didn't have a command of Paulad Geroff and his little coven of witches. pushed an infantry off turn one, his turn one, and they never got back in the game.
Yeah,
never got back on the board.
I'd decided to take. I'd never used ogres in an Orc and Goblin army. And I kind of really should they be in an Orc and Goblin army, really? Anyway.
Well, they've got Black Orcs, haven't they? They're
very
similar.
Yeah, but no, as in, like, fluff-wise, ogres, you know, like... they are there. I had, you know, had some were painted up, so it's like, yeah, I'll take these. I can do a theme around this. You can get two units of ogres, because that's the max. Two units of Black Orcs, because that's the max. I can take some trolls as well. And I can present, like, not the max trolls. Trolls are actually min-max 0-3. I mean, six units of trolls? That's an ask. You know, like, so I was like, alright, I'll take... So overall, two of each. My battle line would be these three backed up brigades of heavy infantry. That'll be interesting. And I'll take a lot of characters. You know, I maxed out. I took the general with an Orb of Majesty, which conveniently for an Orc general is not a negative in terms of have another go at the same command you are.
That is funny.
Is it a Rock of Majesty or an Orb?
Orb of Majesty.
But you're an Orc. Is it a Rock of Majesty?
I don't know what it is. Like, yeah, a fucking shit pile of Majesty. A dung heap of Majesty.
Who's
a majestic turd?
Yeah, it wouldn't be an orb. Yeah, like, anyway, it allows you to have another attempt at an order based off command 8 is like then apply modifiers. But in an Orc general's command 8, that's literally have another go. You know, like I took four heroes, like one of them with a Wyvern, so it's like low, and then I took two Orc Shamans, two Goblin Shamans.
You had nine characters.
Yeah, nine. I mean, like, two of them are 30-point Shamans, but yeah, nine characters.
That is a lot, sir.
Yeah, it is. It's buckets. And what that meant was I wouldn't need the Shamans for their command ability. Like, they're just, they're going to try.
Command, what are they, six?
Seven and six? Or six?
No, I think it's seven. Six. Can it?
I don't know.
I think seven and six sounds bad enough.
And I presented this, like, and we rolled incursion, so three objectives, one that gets removed after turn one. You know, and I was like, right, okay, it's a pretty simple battle plan then. Each of these heavy brigades to each of these objectives. What my collection of cavalry there had was just literally some boars and some goblin chariots just is in the dead centre, like reacting to where it needs to go, and two units of Orc Riders in the flank, orcs and goblins units to make out the list. You know, and that was it. I'd not played that kind of Orc and Goblin army before.
It was a revelation.
It did pretty well. Yeah, it's like because I said, like, right, I am unlikely to get the charge on somebody. Like, I'll pass two orders. Like, you know, I might pass the first. I should pass the first one, I guess. But you know, like, but I, you know, just make use of the half base move, keep it rolling forward. Everything gets an order. You know, because I certainly have enough characters to do it. Looking at Barry's list, Barry, do you want to talk through your list before you take it?
Oh, it's a typical cheesemonger list of 12 infantry.
This is demons.
Yeah, 12 demon infantry, 2 cavalry, 2 chariots, 2, what do they call, hounds, 2 flyers, 2 wizards, and a general that's wizard.
Yeah.
And a dispel scroll.
So key there, only 3 characters, and 2 of them are wizards.
And 2 of them are wizards.
Yeah. So I was like, looking at Barry's list, it's like, he's lacked command, with these shamans, like, folk spellcasters, I'll go for Geralt and I'll break up his brigades.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and he will lack the characters to bring it all together again.
Yeah.
So, like, so that's what I started, yeah, that's how I started to do it. I did manage to pull off 3 orders off on a unit of wolves on the right flank at one point, which sent them, like, and Barry seemed to give this unit of wolf riders a lot of thought, like, you know, which was interesting, like, they were distracting, like, you know, more than anything else. And then similarly, but I think, you know, Barry on the left flank, my left flank, Barry didn't realise realised that there was a piece of scenery was a hill, and
it looked pretty, yeah, pretty inhospitable.
But yeah, it's a hill. Yeah, like hill. And those two pieces will go because they fit the rest of the board not as well. Yeah. And those wolf riders on each flank are just distracting.
He didn't have much cavalry at all.
No. I mean, normally people take an orc list is four, maybe six
ball boys,
two wibbons.
Yeah,
the rest doesn't matter.
You did have one unit and one wibbon, but that's a lot less than most.
It never actually engaged the game.
Didn't need to.
So
I mean, this was one side of the game as you could ever see.
So Barry, I mean, probably this is on camera, so I've got my first win on camera against Barry, which is great.
Yeah, I'm sure you've won before. I'm sure you're not remembering.
Oh, but not in a long time. So I presented these. Like, the objective that disappeared was opposite the trolls, and I was like, oh well, never mind. Their job now is going to be second wave stuff.
They didn't get there anyway, did they? You
should have get there anyway.
Four turns, they got nowhere.
Yeah, well, they slowly walk. Yeah, they bring themselves forward.
Well, I think they did charge at the end actually.
Barry came into both my centre and my right, which is Black Orcs holding the centre and Ogres are holding the right, and both his charges bounced on my heavy brigades. Yeah, they're supported, they're good troops. I put the Wyvern into the Black Orcs because I was fairly confident it would help bounce, a combat. And that was key. And then that allowed me to dominate. Barry did quite a few casualties, allowed me to dominate. The centre and right.
Never got my battle line together. It was too spread out. No command.
Yeah.
It was as one-sided game as you could imagine.
I think I ended up only losing a break and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of nine.
It's not a high break orc list because there's so much heavy infantry in it.
Yeah.
But that seemed to work. That was like,
I mean, your results may vary depending on what kind of table you play. And the table suited that army down to the ground.
Yeah. It's like, we got set places we're going to go for, plow into them.
It's like knowing you're going to take a charge, but the person that's not getting a charge bonus meant you could take most charges.
Easily. It's making use of the table.
Mm-hmm. Sure, what was your game one, fella? Who did you play?
Jim.
Gentleman Jim.
We had a super top secret experimental game.
You can talk about it if you want. No,
it's alright. I mean, it was, to be fair, Jim was using an experimental army that he's building from nowhere, and it was using a very dramatic change to what.
Oh shit.
There you go.
Oh my god.
Wow, see, Jim is literally phoning now to basically say, don't talk about this game.
You signed an NDA.
Done. We'll leave that in.
We should do.
Oh my god.
Well. An NDA. Right, so Jim was trying a new army.
Jim was trying a brand new army, which he's literally testing.
But he told me he was playing Skaven. Was that to keep me in the dark? Tricksy bastard.
So doing that, he's also playing a brand new variant on the. On the rules, which was very interesting and quite dramatically changed everything. Super top secret. I'm not spoiling too much of Jim's fun, stealing too much of Jim's thunder. That was fun, it was entertaining, it's definitely thought provoking. Gave me a fraction of a headache trying to work out how to move everything around and trying to work out what was going on. But truthfully, the day for me today was trying Albion again for the first time in 18 months, and trying to work out going from a very heavy infantry Cathay army to a very literally heavy infantry Ogre army to now a very fast attack orientated Albion army of understanding how this works. So I just took a bunch of chariots, a bunch of wolfhounds as a base point and went, right, so let's work out what these guys do, and then I'll try folding in Ogres and other stuff next and work out where my point is landing at.
The table wasn't overly friendly, but you really did have some piss poor command rolls and stuff from the mid game onwards.
Are we talking about our game now?
You're still talking about Jim's game.
Yeah, rolling into game two, I played you, Barry.
Oh, did
Paul's atrocious table.
Paul's atrocious table. commissioned by Nick. A lovely looking table, mind. Lovely looking table.
It looked lovely. It's like when you go to Warhammer World and you see the dioramas. Yeah. Wow, that looks really cool. Totally unplayable.
Oh, come on, you're being too harsh. You could have done something about it.
If you didn't have infantry, you had nothing. Anyway, back to the So no, that game was interesting. It was going along. It was working, and I captured the objectives. I did the right thing.
Ahead
and then,
at the beginning.
And then it got to the mid game, and what really went wrong is I had one turn where I think in the middle where I charged you, every combat I did, I rolled instead of you look at your dice. Yeah, on average, half of you should hit, half of you, and then depending on what you're hitting, two thirds should wound or half should wound, whatever.
Yeah.
And my dice went to a quarter of you will hit, and Barry will save, and Barry will save 70% off you. So that sucks.
You were attacking with 14 dice, hitting with 3, and I was saving 2, and that's one wound.
Yeah, exactly. And then so that kind of failed. Yeah. And then the next turn, Barry had the turn of all my stuff's in dense terrain, but it doesn't matter because I need to, I was surrounded by enemies with missing stands. That doesn't matter.
I'll just roll sixes
or fives for all my commands. And I'm just watching from the opposite side of the table going, well, I'm not winning this anymore. Like, it's fine. It was good enough. It was a good experience to see what's happening. Albion are, much as I remember, they have no attrition built into them whatsoever, so you just need to understand that.
Interesting though, because they're not that different to, like, say, Beastmen. What have Beastmen got that can stand around a fight?
Are we penciling and be talking about
it? No, I'm just saying. I'm saying Albion, Empire, I guess, have knights, but apart from knights, they've got nothing with armor, have they?
Steam tank.
Do I talk about my second game now?
The game just went away from Sherman in one turn or one and a half turns with a. He didn't make any orders, I made some crazy orders, and
that's what it was.
Sorry. So, who did you play? Ian?
So, I played Ian. Ian, a famous YouTuber, the Theory series. And he used a fairly standard Empire list, so a lot of knights. He hadn't gone for a second Griffin, taken a steam tank.
Two Griffins?
No, he took one Griffin, but he'd taken a steam tank.
Right.
That's how, I guess, if your typical Empire build is.
Four cavalry?
Yeah, six knights and one pistol is.
So, six knights and how many? Two pistols? One pistol?
One pistol.
It's meaty, spicy meatball.
Yeah, exactly. And again, rolled up the scenario and got incursion exactly at the same
time. Oh, we played incursions, Nice scenario.
Yeah.
I don't think many games will be settled on the scenario, but at least it gets you fighting.
It gets you fighting. Yeah, that's all a scenario.
That's the whole point of every scenario.
I played my high elves and I'd taken this. Now, this I've never done this before. Like, I built this high elf, it's like the army list, is on the models that the beautiful range of models that there is. For Forest Dragon Forest Dragon have done high elves.
They did them first, I think. Wood elves first,
in a recent one. And they're just beautiful models. I've always quite liked the high elf aesthetic.
The spear tips.
Yeah, well,
I like the new high elf aesthetic with the foxes and stuff. That's cool.
Foxes?
Yeah, okay.
They've got like a weird flying fox. They've got
not these cunts with the fucking the strings coming off. All the bows and shit coming off.
The Minotaurs are amazing.
flying boats and all kinds of bollocks.
Yeah. This list is, it's only Breakpoint 8. It's got a dragon rider in it because the model is lovely. I could use that model as a character, character map.
And you probably should, sir.
I probably should, but I couldn't. Like at the moment, I don't have. That wouldn't make me. I don't have enough models to make a 2,000-point army if I did that. And what I imagine High Elves to be is a very small elite army, but loads of magic items across the board. And I use magic items to represent the different units. So, like, I've got a unit of swordmasters, right? They get a sword. So the spearmen get a sword to make swordmasters. I need to see if somebody does a design for dragon princes, because if they do, I want to put them into the army, and I need to find a.
One of the alternatives back in the day?
Back in the day, and I need to find if someone does a 3D print of Phoenix Guard, because again, that would be difficult.
But they definitely were in metal.
Yeah, they definitely were in metal. Yeah, so that's something to... I'll have a look on eBay later or something. Yeah.
I like the high-off themed army. I'd go for a Tyranog themed army. I would have no silver helms. Just go chariots and reavers.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
So I went character heavy. I took a general, two heroes, one of them mounted a giant eagle, and two wizards, another one mounted a giant eagle.
Holy moly!
Yeah. So five characters. Now,
and the dragon rider.
And a dragon rider, yeah. It's the unit dragon rider.
Fucking hell, man. That's nearly 1,000 points or something in character.
It is, But the...
second outside of the box.
I didn't realise giant eagles were really good. Like, for 20 points, they're flying and plus two attacks.
Yeah, they're really good.
That's really good.
Really, really good.
I was like, wow. Well, I thought they were at plus one attack. Oh, no.
I think they're probably under-costed, reality.
I think so. They've got three things that probably should be 30 points, shouldn't they?
Yeah, Barry can't put them in his army, so they're over-costed.
What do you mean? I'd love to play your high elves again.
Yeah, then they would be appropriately costed.
But yeah, it's and what was nice was, like, I was showing the army list around, everyone was like, oh, I've never seen someone try to do that. Like, as in, take, you know, it wasn't, like, groans about, like, using elves. Anyway.
Did you get any groans?
No, not once they understood what I was using.
Oh, when they saw your list.
Yeah. Plus, I'm not a cheesemonger like you, Mario. So I think I'd get
just playing high elves is cheese. It doesn't matter what you bring; it's all going to be good.
But this range of characters gave me so much maneuverability in the army. You know, that I really could, like, okay, I could. There's loads of avenues of attack I could try here. He'd taken a nice positioned hill for his artillery, and I was like, right, how am I going to deal with those? Because I've got a low breakpoint, I don't have anything that's going to want to be shot by these cannons, and then I can trade off. And I found a position where, okay, I can get this unit of spearmen on its own, and get them forward into a woods where they'll be shot first. But, that was my battle plan. I was like, right, they will take cannon fire while I attack from where those cannons aren't. Sadly, this time, the wrong objective for me went away, where I was strongest when the objective could that one disappeared. But if anyone can reposition, it's high elves. So, sadly, the first round of firing that Ian put into this unit of spearmen, which is just their job, is just going to have to catch the cannon.
Somebody's got to catch them.
He got six hits. So two stands went.
You're in line?
No. He was at like two.
You're in column?
No. I was in line, so it was only hitting one stand.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so two, four. He got six out of eight hits. So they didn't die to the drive mag, at least, but they got confused. And so there you go. Oh, that scuppered that idea. And I was just like, right, I need to try and knock these cannons off. And I pulled off a move where I sent a character, like, I set it up so I had a character quite far out on a flank, and the eagles homed forward to that character, and then they managed to then, I pulled off, so he'd set the cannons with a crosswoman, two units of cannons, crosswoman, other side. So I charged the flank of these defending crosswomen with my eagles. That worked quite nicely, but sadly, it didn't wipe them out. They got the close and went down to one stand, but they didn't wipe them out. I didn't commit by sending in a character as well, a flying eagle character as well. And if they had wiped out that unit crossbowmen, they could have advanced onto the cannons, and that would at least taken one of them. So that didn't work. And sadly, like, my dragon rider, like, saw an opportunity to flank charge some knights, went for it, lost the second round of combat. Shouldn't have happened.
Foil armor is the thing, though.
Yeah, it causes terror.
He was only attacking back with one, wasn't he?
Yes, and he managed to lose. It was a draw, wasn't it? He managed to draw a fight. And it shouldn't have happened. I should have.
Well, he's only got seven attacks, hasn't he?
So he's six base, and he's a monster. So the first round is eight.
Yep, you're with that.
He wins small with seven.
Yeah, so he got seven attacks, but fucked it.
Basically.
Because say you just get under the average, you get three hits.
Mm-hmm.
He's only got to save three, four ups, hasn't he? And you've pounced.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, what happened.
So
the dragon was tired.
the issue is this dragon rider is 300 points.
300 points.
And really should be like 250.
I don't think 250 would make any dent in it, to be honest. But
he's too much for 300 points.
He's meant to be. It's deliberate. Yeah, yeah, if you read the book, it says this is a suboptimal choice.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing it for fluff.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm doing it because I've got a lovely model. You know, if Forest Dragon had done two beautiful sculpts of dragons, which were different, mm-hmm. I'd have two dragons.
Do you know Jeff once played with four dragons?
Yeah, I think he did five.
It was
an experiment that did not work.
Yeah, that's too much. That's,
two dragon riders and two characters. Yeah, I thought it was four, but it's just you've got no army.
Yeah, you've got no army. You have no army. Yeah. But that dragon rider would have been the best thing to frontal charge these defended cannons.
Because frontal.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get the. Say you can't. Maybe you don't work a flank, but it. It would be that dragon versus four defended cannons. There's grape shot, yeah.
What about silver helms?
They'd take too much from other side of the. That's what I should have done. Didn't do it. Later in the game, I'd taken a unit of silver helms with standard shielding, and that's how I'd represent. That's how I'd represent dragon princes. So, that's why I want to find. I'll need to find a unit of dragon princes then that can make them different. And I had an opportunity with my general to. Third order on a six to charge these cannons. Actually, I should have gone for it. I didn't. Because I went. I thought I'm probably not likely to get it. And that would leave them standing out to get blasted. So I sent them into the flank of some other knights. I lost by being broken. Ian's a good player. Mm. And I did learn one rule of him, which I didn't realise this. Obviously I'll take his word that this is correct. Because when your opponent argues that they're for something that's negative for them, I guess you believe him. Right? So I'd flanked and terror. I'd caused terror on a unit of I reduced a unit down to zero attacks.
I'll give one.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, the unit only rolls one, so not one per stat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? I didn't realise that. It's a minor thing. But yeah, the unit can only roll one dice, not one per stat. I thought it was one per stat.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, anyway.
I think it's one per stand.
Ian thought it was one per unit, and it's his unit, so I was like,
Well, you're not going to argue.
You
could have none if you want.
I do need these things to work. So what I should have done is, and we tried it out after the game, after I'd lost the game. I was like, okay, let me just see, would this have worked dice wise? And I actually rolled a six. Let's say I got them in. I actually rolled a six, and I was like, okay, they did get in. And we went for the combat, and the knights took them. Yeah, the knights took them quite comfortably.
Artillery.
This standard shielding unit of knights, and they took the unit across from them, and they would have advanced into them. So I should have done that. Yeah, and that's so I had the tool, but I didn't. I didn't go for it, and I should have gone.
The high elves, you could easily get that.
It was really. This is the kind of high elf army I'd want to play in terms of it's not sitting there like, oh, you've taken six units of silver elves, what a surprise.
Or ten.
No, I've taken things that, something that.
You've buried
it. Yeah, I've not buried it. I've done my own.
Hey, you were involved in the cheese fest.
Yeah. And if I painted it up like
an army, bro.
Yeah, and if I painted it up the way I wanted to get it painted up, it would look lovely. It would be a lovely looking thing. So there we go. That was my second game.
Cool. Jim came up with an award. Apparently, it's between me, Janice, Sherwin, and Paul, the man who would be king.
An award?
Yeah, there's the fromage award or something.
The fromage award.
I don't know what he's judging it on.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just, blessed be the cheesemonger.
Yeah.
I mean,
because listening to a.
To be very, very Barry, you're like pretty scrubbed here, so you should be honoured to be in that kind of.
That's right.
You're absolutely amongst kings there.
Yeah.
Honour amongst kings.
I should stress that I am absolutely being somewhat self-depreciating when I say that.
Toby's interesting. Blessed be the cheesemakers. This would be the cheesemakers. So we also need to talk about your event.
Yes, the event that I won with me.
And then we need to save some time to talk about Sherwin's year.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I played, what's the name of that place? Black Dragon? Black Dragon, yeah. Was it East Midlands again? It was
Walsall, I believe.
Two hours away, but not Daventry, 2 hours. It was 2 hours away.
Junction 10 on the M6, is that it?
Yeah.
Walsall.
And yeah, it was like, this guy Gary, who runs the place, has been running Warmaster tournaments. And what was nice was he took the LGT rules back. And ran the tournaments using that rules back.
Is it not called Winter Roller anymore?
Yeah, it's called Winter Roller. I went along with Beastman Army. I'd acquired a Beastman Army off Rid. Made from alternative, two different companies of metal models. And it wasn't exactly the list I would have taken. Not all options were there.
Didn't have one of everything.
No, it didn't have one of everything.
No shag off.
No shag off.
Centigals.
Centigals.
Pissed up fuckers.
Though it did have a unit of dragon ogres in it.
Nobody fights those. Just run away.
But you're talking about scenery, right? So I took down a couple of tables of scenery to that. You're talking about scenery. So in my first game was against a very new player to the system. They've got their little scene there. He was using a high elf army. And the table was pretty much bare. There was barely...
Oh, this is a wet dream for a high elf player.
Barely any scenery on the table. So I had to really so my ambushing options with Beastmen ain't there.
Well, you come off the side.
Yeah, as in like I can ambush on the flanks of the table, but there's literally no scenery for me to ambush into. So that's no good. And I really had to play like a champion to pull a win out of that because high elves are so forgiving and Beastmen ain't. And especially when I'm playing on like a desert plain. this ain't so good. I pulled off 3 wins at that event and won the event. And it was like, I was surprised because.
Wow, so game one out, high elves,
Game two was.
You made notes.
Vampire Counts.
Ooh.
I won against the Vampire Count army.
Nice.
There had more scenery. It was a table I'd done. Had more scenery. Lots of ambushing options and skeletons and stuff.
I've been to that venue and played Games 4. Was it against the guy? I played a guy. No, sorry, I didn't play him, but I saw he's a Vampire Counts army. Really beautiful army, like blue, glossy, sort of sparkly, amazing looking army.
Yeah, that's right.
They look like they're standing on piles of treasure.
Yeah.
It's really cool
it's
army.
Lovely stuff.
Lovely.
The vampire coasty thing or whatever it's called.
No, it's just like vampires, but it looks like they've just come out of like some massive like Dracula's treasure vault or something.
That's right.
Really cool. It's very distinctive.
Can't remember the final. It was just like another final.
Just cash.
Lost it out.
Yeah.
Swing big, win big.
Obliterated them to the point where they don't exist anymore.
Lamentations of the widows or whatever.
Yeah. With Beastmen, it's like you're going to take casualties. Like even when winning, your stuff ain't that solid. And it's big. Its big stick is it's flank. It's out ambushing and it's
well, you like a good position. Flank, don't you? That's a ball is a.
Well,
he loves a good flank.
You play to the army's strengths, and its strength is an ambush. Yeah. But I did play a game with Beastmen afterwards against. Janners, I think I got totally smashed. And I was like, oh well.
Don't do yourself down. Say you were playing against like three noobs.
No. But I did not have to beat Janners to beat them.
No, you don't have to prove yourself by beating Janners.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a familiar Janner story, to be fair.
Yeah, but what was really cool, and I guess I can say this on the podcast, is they were selling 3D printed armies.
You can say what you want.
But
they're not illegal.
No, they were selling 3D.
I think the only contentious issue was they were using Warmaster brand name.
I suppose, yeah. So they're selling 3D printed armies on the shelves. And I was like, wow. And it's like, that's so cool to see. I haven't seen Warmaster on a shelf in any form.
For 20 years.
20 years.
When it did exist in that form, I was never played. So I never even saw it again until it was already dead.
Then my prize for winning was a selection of a choice of one of these 1,000-point armies.
Nice.
I chose the Hiles from that because I was like, they are lovely sculpts. And that's what I used today. I expanded on it, and that's what I used today.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's cool. It was cool to play in an event, a Warmaster event, that I got to play. As in, I got to play in it. Like, I wasn't running it. You know, it was just cool. Just like, and I still got asked TO questions, even though I wasn't the TO. But I was like, it's fine. You know, like, let me answer those questions for you. It was just like, and there was quite a few players there I'd not seen before. So
it's a really, really lovely scene.
Yeah, and it was. How come you were down this year?
There's one round. So who was it? It was David Kicker.
Yeah,
had a ticket for it and couldn't go. So he basically
different event.
Yeah, different event. Okay. So he basically said, anyone want this? And it was getting close to the time. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I've got a free weekend.
Yeah.
So I went up there. I won a bunch of like vouchers, which if I ever see David again, I've saved for him.
Yeah.
Did you like win it then?
I came runner-up.
Yeah.
So I also won best painted. So yeah. I had some vouchers which I've hung on to. So if I see David again, I'm like, hi, here's your rewards for doing that event. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. I want to save him for him. But
He's normally at the LGT, isn't he?
Yeah, he wasn't this year. I was going to give him to him then. But
or like PM around. Him, get him his address and post it to him.
Yeah, I could do.
It's going to go. It's nice to take a tournament win. For once it was me.
Very nice. Very.
Jim was there, so like I didn't have to play.
What was Jim doing? He's playing.
Yeah, he's playing. Yeah,
nice.
This guy is going to run.
You should come out to more events, Barry.
I've
been to a lot of Epic events this year.
This guy's going to run more Warmaster events. He's put the calendar up.
He's really fired up. He said it's a lovely. It's quite a nice little store. It's quite a nice scene they've got there. It's really good. Yeah. So
it's like it's no harder to get to than what we're doing right now, Barry.
Yeah. I only generally do one event a month, and I did a song event. I did four or five Epic events. I've done quite a lot this year. I ran two events.
Yeah.
But that we'll talk about in the wrap up.
Right, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Barry, do a wrap about.
On to the wrap up.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Yeah, let's see. So, I mean, at any given time, I'm normally running about five different projects these days. So,
fluff-wise or game design-wise?
Oh, game design-wise. So
do you still do the fluff or is someone else doing the fluff?
Well, it's not much call for it with a lot of what we do now at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, we have an RPG division now, which is run by a guy called Richard August, who's an insanely talented writer. So he obviously does all of the writing for that stuff, and I dip in and out myself.
What is that? It's like a fifth ed port into your own universe or something, isn't it?
Some stuff like that. Epic Encounters is a range we do, which is pure. Like 5e stuff, and there's a couple other bits and pieces we do which are 5e compatible, like Dark Souls. We've done.
That's a big load.
Don't mind us. Paul's got no tires anymore.
Jesus, fuck. Yeah, that Jeep in front of us kind of nearly. Jesus.
So
Dark Souls, fifth ed. I mean, isn't Dark Souls back? You just fucking die.
Yeah, pretty much. You're doing game form. We have a. That's literally reset your map. We have a Dark Souls event. Dark Souls RPG, which is a thing. There's also Epic Encounters, which is a 5e range of different.
Is that the kind of pet friendly one, or is that a different?
No, that's a different one again. That's Animal Adventures. So it's quite a few of them now.
You have got a few going on.
Yeah, it's loads. So anyway, so that's the thing. I might be more involved in some elements of that this coming year, actually, which is cool. I'd like to do that. If I get the bandwidth. Otherwise, I've been doing some Bard Song stuff this year, which early year I've done.
Shit, I forgot about that. That was the Dungeon Crawler one, wasn't it?
That's still good to go. There's been Resident Evil, obviously making sure that's happened. That had some production.
That's the Resident Evil 2 one you were talking about.
No, Resident Evil. We're on to Resident Evil now. We did
going
Resident
backwards.
We did Resident Evil 2, we did Resident Evil 3, we're down to Resident Evil. So that's that.
Same similar game engine or
It's always evolving, much like the original video games. So this one's cool. This was the big daddy of all of them, so that was good, it was exciting. Did a quite a fun campaign for that, which every day was choose your own adventure during the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So people basically got to choose what they would go and where, depending on where they went in the mansion following the narrative that I wrote.
Nice.
That meant who they save, and thus what gets added to their order, what gets added to their pledges.
Yeah.
So it's like cool. An interactive kind of stretch goal system. Which
and you were writing the stuff as it
went
along.
Yeah, I had a great time doing that.
Oh, that's quite like a lot of fun.
Quite tiring because
yeah,
I was
perform on demand.
Quite tiring because I'm writing every day, depending on what people are doing. But
Kickstarters are tiring. I mean, yeah. You keep it to 3 weeks now, I guess, or 2 weeks.
More like 14 days.
14 days.
So, yeah, anyway. And then, yes, that was that. And then, obviously, a few other different projects here and there, but working up to the big one at the end of the year, which was Elden Ring. So, we're speaking of Kickstarters. So
that's another video game ported to board games.
Yeah, that was the game of the year. That was a big, big game.
So what is this, like a MMORG type setup?
Imagine
Elden Ring?
Elden Ring is Dark Souls, but open world. So yeah. You're still not necessarily playing it online, but what you are doing, you can do, but that's a minor part of it. Imagine like, I don't know if you ever played Dark Souls, Barry, but...
I know Dark Souls the game, but I don't know Elden Ring the game.
Okay, so imagine Dark Souls, but now you're in this huge universe that you can go and explore.
Like World of Warcraft, I'd
say.
Yeah,
you can jump on your horse and go wherever you want. It's massive.
Yeah.
And wherever you go, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Yeah, it's a very, very involved game. Very, very cool.
Okay. So very big.
So yeah. So we did that, and to give you an idea, the game is so massive that our Kickstarter covered the starting area, and there's still like 100 hours of gameplay there. So it's pretty big.
Wow.
So that was cool.
And it went well, obviously.
Yeah, we got to do some interesting things. We rented. I guess. Usual rent for the evening, but we hired out a cathedral for the launch event, so and we decked that out with like trees and bits and pieces and all sorts of stuff like that. Invited a whole bunch of influencers to hang out with, filmed a whole bunch of playthrough videos for like about 48 hours solid with various different people. I almost found myself going to America on like a tour, taking this game across the country to various different people to play, but that didn't work out in the end, thankfully.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite happy it didn't, that would have been exhausting. So yeah, it was good. So this year, obviously coming up, I've got more of the same, I guess. But all good.
Better to be busy than not.
I am lucky enough to have a job that I very much love.
Yeah, exactly.
I get to do all sorts of crazy stuff, like talk about goblins for hours, and somehow get paid for it, which is cool.
Goblins. Yeah. The whole influencer thing is just it doesn't compute with me yet, but that's what my kids are interested in. Just on and off. You may have heard of like KSI. I don't know if Paul's young enough.
Yeah, I know.
But KSI, right, so there's this sideman KSI, and there's this other guy Logan Paul, and they had
Logan Paul.
They had a couple of fights, right?
That's old. That's old.
Yeah. Well, so go with me. So they had a fight, and then
a boxing match.
Yeah, two. And then they released an energy drink called Prime.
Yeah.
And now this fucking drink you cannot buy, and it's like the kids are selling it to each other for £20 a bottle if they can find one. This stuff is so rare. Kid's best Christmas present this year was one of his friend's dads went to America and managed to find the bottles of Prime in America and brought them back, and he got a single bottle of this Prime, and he was like utterly made up, and he was like drinking this bottle of Prime.
Is it like Doc Brown puts in the DeLorean?
I tried a tiny bit. It's like ultra sweet because it's aimed at the American market, lemon and lime flavour. It's like, but because of the influencers, the kids would literally stab each other up for these bottles of fucking
drink. That's mental, right to me.
So, mental.
So hang on.
Best Christmas present, but not him.
His best
Christmas present. For other boys as well, was this other kid managed to give them a single bottle of Prime.
It's a non-alcoholic.
Yes, it's maybe worth like a quid or a quid 50, £2 if you could find them.
Right. Okay.
Because of these two fucking influencers and their marketing arm.
That is crazy.
The Sidemen now, these YouTube people, are opening restaurants, and kids are making their parents take them to these fucking restaurants for a Sidemen burger.
For a Sidemen? A Sidemen burger. That's the name of an influencer.
There's a group of influencers. So they're like early 20-year-old lads.
Yeah.
But the power of these influencers now is just insane.
Yeah,
that's mental.
They're like way beyond celebrity, way beyond film stars.
But they're not like, it's not like, oh, this celebrity's known for making fizzy drinks, are they?
No.
Just,
They're just cashing in.
Yeah, they're just cashing in. Somebody's made that drink for them.
Yes. And they're like branding it. Yes. Yeah. But like now they've got restaurants and drinks and food and all this shit. Merchandise, obviously. But it's like, I've never even fucking heard of them. Who is this? But to the kids, they're everything. Everything.
It all goes around.
Yeah, because that local pub did a, he has been in the, he's done a few WWE matches.
Has he?
And fair play to him. He's actually been, he's taken the training well, and they were pretty good quality. You know, is in, but it is someone who.
So does he sell merch for that now?
I guess he must have. But it's a pro. I mean, he was like a, he was a draw at. Not WrestleMania, but a recent big show. Saudi Arabia show where they, where WWE goes over and gets its like Saudi Arabian money.
Blood money.
And the main event was
blood and oil.
Was Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul.
What about the female events? Are they allowed to get their asses out?
No,
and stuff?
They have to be wearing more clothes than men.
I'm sure they do.
It's a bit. That's a bit weird in terms of. Watch in terms of like what they, what women, it's sort of sad for women wrestlers, isn't it, what they're forced to wear normally, which is not much, and then they go to Saudi Arabia and they have to wear more clothes than the men, and it's like, it's just, that's rubbish.
Well, that's like, life. You know, like, not going to change that anytime soon.
But it's not, but normally with these celebrity style matches the celebrity's terrible, but actually this guy's clearly a natural athlete and has you know,
he's certainly got charisma because he certainly makes his money.
Well, clearly does, and he obviously, Roman Reigns wasn't going to drop, wasn't going to drop his belts to essentially a celebrity. So there was no like question about who was going to win, but it wasn't a bad match either.
But it wasn't like the Gronk where he just came in to fall over on somebody.
No, and actually Logan, he put in, it must have, you know, a decent time match, whatever, 15, 20 minutes or whatever it was, and he picked up an injury from it. You know, like a legit injury. It's just like, well, there you go. But it
split his banjo string.
But the fact that he makes a drink doesn't make me want to buy the drink.
Well, you're not 12 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're not the target audience.
I've told you, wait till your kids are about 7 years old and then they've got their own phones and stuff. It's just a disaster.
It's also worth pointing out, like, to the average adult, we play toy soldiers and spend ridiculous amounts of money on that.
That's true. It's true.
Yeah, it takes all sorts.
It does. Different strokes and all that.
Yeah.
So did you play in any tournaments this year, Sherman? Apart from the GT?
I got to play in the GT. I had to cancel too many events this year. I would have liked to go to more. I was supposed to be getting the one that you was having, which I think was up in Daventry, where we'd just been.
The one with Janna's one for Jane.
I had to cancel that. I was supposed to be playing one of Jim's ones, which I had to cancel, which is annoying. Sadly, because I just haven't got the bandwidth, I got pulled from Pillar to Post this year. I just didn't have a chance to do anything. That said, I managed to sneak into a couple next year, which I'm looking forward to, especially the Saffron doubles.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
That will be fun. Random doubles.
Yeah, I might just turn up with all ogres, just for fun. What have you got? However many ball ogres I can fit.
All ogres,
this.
Mate. Just all the ogres.
Whoever's with me, what do you bring? Heavy infantry. Yeah. Whatever, you know, don't care what you've got.
Yeah.
We're walking that way.
Slowly.
Either that or I'll take it out of me and I'll be going that way considerably faster.
Yeah.
But either way, all good. So pretty much that's what it is, really. I've been to like a whole bunch of different bits and pieces, obviously cons and other stuff like that. It's all been work stuff. So,
of these various cons that you go to, Sherry, which one stands out to you as the best one?
So you go to the Essen one, don't you?
I've been to Spiel a couple of times. Spiel's okay. Spiel's interesting because I don't know if they still do it, but last time I went there, they were still doing it. They make the public transport in the city free that weekend.
Oh, wow.
So if you're visiting, then you can just get around.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
If that was the UK, we'd just double the price.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah.
I'd be on strike anyway.
It's a very hospitable place. That's cool. Gen Con, it always stands out because Gen Con is Gen Con. Like, people who are used to going to conventions here don't really understand. You'll never understand how batshit someone like Gen Con is until you were to go there. Like, when Gen Con comes to town, Gen Con takes over.
Yeah.
Like,
so this is the Indianapolis one?
Yeah. Wherever, like, you have the convention centre, obviously, which is huge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
absolutely massive. And it's not only, like, two main halls, it's also all of these different side rooms, which are literally got, you know, they've got random games going on or whatever else. There's like a whole bunch of rooms, you know, locked off upstairs, which have got like banners hung from the ceiling, like you're in some King's Hall or something or other, that sort of stuff going on. Like there's people sitting in the corridors playing card games against each other and stuff, yeah. Like cosplay going on, parades and things. And then if you go into any, yeah, if you were to go out to Indianapolis and walk around, all of the shops have got like, hey, welcome to to Indie Gen Con kind of signs everywhere. There's like geeks everywhere. They like a whole bunch of the menus in restaurants have changed, so they're like
Gen Con menus.
Yeah, Gen Con special menus. Like Privateer used to have one. You could have like a Haney burger,
Jesus.
And like Nemo fries, stuff like that. Like the whole place gets taken over for a week solid. Like every hotel has like an open area downstairs that they open up for the people who are staying there to go play board games.
Yeah.
Like all the bars have specials going on and stuff like that.
Wow.
So you really, the spectacle that is Gen Con, you don't understand until you...
How many days have you experienced it?
Gen Con is what, Thursday until Sunday? I'm obviously it starts earlier because people arrive early.
When is it in the year?
Sorry?
When is it in the year?
August. I mean, the other thing about Gen Con to understand is that it's Indianapolis in August is basically like being in Cambodia. It's, you go outside, you are sweating like moments. Like, fortunately, it's America, so you go from one air-conditioned box to another air-conditioned box. But the longer you spend outside, the closer you are to death. Like, it's just terrifying. Got to Adepticon this year. That was quite cool. It was interesting. Golden Demon was there, so I got to walk around and look at the Golden Demon stuff.
What is Adepticon then? Is that the West Coast?
No, that's in Chicago. Most American cons, they want to do in the middle because Americans like to drive to events. So. But Warmaster was there. Got to go and hang out on a couple of the tables where they're playing some Warmaster stuff.
Excellent.
Typical American approach to the game. So one guy was playing Nippon and it worked out. You know, if I put my samurai in a forest, then I can't lose the game.
Excellent. Well,
it's very
the rules is written.
I'm not saying it is a criticism. It's a sort of thing where I wouldn't see that over here because I would go, well, I wouldn't do that. Whereas in America, that's the rules. Like, play to the rules, play to win. So that's what it was. It was quite interesting. Please don't hate me, American Warmaster listeners. So that was kind of interesting. I think Gen Con is the one that always stands out for obvious reasons. Although UK Games Expo, went to that this year. That's really stepped up. Yeah. I remember going to UK Games Expo when it was kind of, you know...
In the Masonic Lodge, do you remember it back then? It used to be in the Masonic Lodge.
I don't remember that one, but I do remember after it went to the NEC, it was in the hotel attached to that, and it was much, much smaller. Yeah. Now, Gen Con is considerably larger. UK Games Expo is considerably larger. It's cool. It's great to see it grow. Also went to Dragon Meet. Dragon Meet was full. RPG event. That was cool. Actually saw one of the old Tame Lord Wallers there. Comrade.
Oh, really?
Completely random. I thought he was lost, to be honest. He seemed a bit confused as to why he was there. But
was he wearing trousers?
Anyway,
he was 60 recently. Happy birthday, Comrade.
Yeah. So that was cool. I got to walk around, do some bits and pieces there. Welcome to just had some fun with various different events, really. Just going hanging out. One of the things that I've really become to enjoy as and when I can, which sadly isn't something that can happen now with Warmaster because of the size of the table and stuff, but definitely for RPGs, is like go get an Airbnb with like a couple of your buddies for like a weekend, just hang out and play games all weekend.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I've done that a few times this year.
What do you mean, instead of going to the event hall as well?
Well, you basically, like, you find a place that's got kind of, you know, sleeps a few people. Like, but the other my podcast, technically, my First Aid Spray, that we basically... First Aid Spray.
So you mentioned that, yeah?
Oh, it's
a podcast. First Aid Spray, that's, a podcast. That's it's about podcast. Resident Evil.
It is indeed. So, so we basically did a get-together. We haven't done one of those in a long time. We rented the place from like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and basically just went and hung out, like played video games and board games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't cost us a whole bunch. It slept everyone like there, so I slept six people, six different rooms.
Yeah.
And just hung out and just played games.
Where was that in the country?
That was in Birmingham. It was actually a really nice little place.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say about it was, it could be because I sleep the sleep of the dead or of the completely what's the word, like, non-guilt, you know, innocent, minded, innocent, whatever, sleep, yeah. Sleep of innocence. I wasn't woken up at all, whereas everyone else was constantly complaining about the fact that it was so close to the airport that planes were waking them up.
Oh, I see, right.
I was just absolutely fine. I was like, I'm going to go to sleep now. I'll wake up when I wake up, and I'm good. Refreshing night. So, but yeah, it was good. Like, so that.
I've never rented an Airbnb again.
Oh, Airbnb.
That's a young, it's like getting an Uber.
I'd recommend them.
Maybe it's something we should do.
Maybe.
We do them for Steamforge. We do them for design weeks. The design team will go away and spend like a week in an Airbnb somewhere just constantly designing random stuff. Or
do you remember there was a fellow, was it Paul, that moved out to the, was it out Somerset Way or Devon Way? And he had a B&B and he was setting up a big games room.
Right, okay.
I mean, then COVID came along. He used to work for Disney or something.
That's right, yeah.
You should try and arrange something out there.
Yeah, good luck to him. Like, yeah, it's just what it is.
Play war bus, because that's the thing, it doesn't have to be, like, this. You don't have to play a tournament. There was no tournament today.
No.
Yeah, the key thing about all of this is, ultimately, why do we play games? It's to hang out,
Social contract, that's the killer, isn't it?
I had much fun talking to you today as I did playing the game with you today.
Yeah.
And same with Jim. So, that was a thing. The only other thing of worth mentioning, really, that I've done this year, which was kind of interesting, was the Steamforge Christmas party, which was, we rented out this...
In Stockport?
No, not quite. So we started off at HQ, and we rented out this this arcade. It's four floors.
Video arcade.
So four floors of consoles and different machines and all sorts of stuff like that. It's all free, so you don't have any money.
Yeah.
And we've got machines all the way from like the 70s, all the way through to now, with a whole bunch of import Japanese stuff. So you've got like the thing where you've got the drums, you're doing the Kodo drumming stuff in terms of the music and stuff. You've got a whole bunch of Dance Dance Revolution stuff going on. Yeah. You've got like the House of the Dead stuff where you're inside the booth and the guns and things. Like some proper 4D ones as well. So we're doing one of the zombie ones. And basically we're sitting in there and the guns have got like a heartbeat sensor on it so it can tell you what your pulse is. Like it's blowing air in your face. The whole thing's rocking side to side.
Yeah.
Like it's doing jump scare stuff at you and making random noises. Really, really cool. So that was fun. I mean, obviously it's in Manchester, so it was in the ghetto. But the point is that it was.
That's London. That's Britain's second city soon, Manchester.
I'm sure it is. That's like saying that Hull was the city of culture.
It was.
So, yeah. But no, that was cool.
That sounds cool.
So, yeah,
nice idea for a Christmas party.
It was. It was. Well, when you're all geeks, yes.
Wait, bunch of nerds. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So
he's been full of good ideas. That's good show.
I'm not going to say it's my idea. I just happily turned up and played a whole bunch of old arcade games I forgot about. But yeah, it was cool. It was good.
So one highlight, Paul, of the year, winning your tournament, running the GT.
Running a successful LGT.
Okay.
Yeah,
biggest
yeah.
event since whenever.
Yeah, exactly. And because I've had a really difficult like past 6 months, I didn't have much time to really think about it, properly. Well, I didn't need to because it like runs itself, doesn't it? Yeah, which is quite nice. To the point where I can take more on at the LGT in 23. Yeah, okay. So that was cool. I would have said like in terms of gaming, that's my highlight of my country. Yeah,
that epitomises you, Paul. The selflessness of like running an event.
Well, no, it's like.
But that's good because my highlight was winning in a silly little glass shield.
That's so funny.
The championship.
Just an awards.
I didn't even know there was a fucking championship.
Oh.
Paul dragged me to an event and then didn't even go. Because he was stuck in fucking Wales because of the weather.
Yeah, that was.
And then I went to an event. And this is like, there must be something wrong in my brain. So I went to an event. I did middly.
Yeah.
Like, nothing good. Just like, whatever. And then I saw there was a way to win a league. So then I couldn't win an event because I'm not that good. I've got close, got seconds and thirds and stuff. But I can't win yet.
Yeah.
Because the player's like way above me.
Yeah.
But there was a way to win the championship, which isn't the Premiership. There's a.
This is so funny.
This is how I could win it.
This is already warming up to the most Barry story ever.
So I had to win it, so I won it. And that took out most of my time going to tournaments this year.
You're obsessed with that.
I even ran my own tournament just to make sure I could get another event.
On the website of Epic, it just says the Premiership standings and the Championship standings. And if you do well in the Championship, you can get upgraded to the Premiership.
Yep.
Is that
promoted,
right?
Promoted, sir.
And can you get demoted?
Oh, yes.
So, anyway.
I will be winning next year.
Yeah. So, but you get more points for using different armies.
Correct.
In different events.
Because obviously, if you're using the same army tournament after tournament,
which is good, which is a clever thing to do. Anyway, it doesn't mean anything.
It means something to me.
It's an attendance.
For the lols.
It's an attendance event, really. Because if you attend events, you get points and win the thing. The guy who won the Premiership,
Horatio,
did attend all the events.
He was a monster.
Yeah, he's a monster for
him. Next level monster.
Yeah, but he did win
an event or two as well.
Yeah, he's good. But like Barry here just couldn't.
Had to do it. Couldn't let it go. Like a dog with a bone, man. Once I got my teeth in the bone, I couldn't let it go. I had to keep going.
Slightly different thing, but this reminds me of. So when I was in the States last, so that would have been Gen Con. We're at Gen Con, and one of the evenings we finish up and we go to this bar and we're sitting there having dinner. And I look over and it's, you know, ESPN on all the screens. And there's a few things that are amusing there. One, that they're playing World Championship Tetris as one of the
Tetris?
Events. Yeah. Tetris has got big World Championships. You check it out, it's good. I love me some Tetris. But anyway, so that's one thing they were doing. But the other one they were showing is Little League. And I'm watching this Little League, which is
baseball.
It's baseball. If you're not familiar with it, it's baseball. But yeah, 12-year-olds, right? Yeah. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, just randomly watching it while I eat my burger.
Yeah.
And then I clock the teams who are playing. And it's basically like, you know, I don't know the name of the school, I can't remember. Let's say it's St. Carolina's or something like that, right? So it's St. Carolina's, like, you know, California 4th versus South Korea. And I'm like, that can't be right. That's weird.
It's definitely right.
So I look at it, and it is against South Korea. And it's just like some random school is playing the South Korean team. Yeah.
Under 12s.
And then they flip to, like, and then, yeah, Little League. And then they flip to another thing, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is another school. You know, pick whatever name you want. Yeah. Versus Austria. And I'm like, okay. So eventually, I'm mostly confused. I sit there looking at this thing. Yeah. And so I kind of flagged down this American, like, who's with us. And like, what's the deal here? What's happening?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What is happening?
What is that, you sir?
So basically, baseball is currently an Olympic sport. Right? Okay. But the problem they have with it is there are so few countries that actually play baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
like
pretty
twins.
Much it's Japan and America. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
so because not enough people play it, it's in danger of not becoming an Olympic sport anymore.
Fair enough, isn't it?
Well, there's only two teams, right? There's only one team.
So basically, the Americans, being a very intelligent group of people, very focused, and very much like you, Barry.
Yeah.
I said, well, how do we make this work? So they've now sponsored this thing.
So how do we make it work so we can win?
So we've now sponsored this thing so that Little League can now have international teams involved.
Yeah.
Because that way it's played internationally. Yeah. Therefore, it then doesn't stop being an Olympic sport.
And so we can win.
So thus they can carry on winning their Olympic medals for baseball.
Correct, sir. Yeah.
Utterly surreal.
Utterly focused. What do we need to do to make this happen? Well, you need to do this. Let's fucking do it. Just get on and do it. Whatever it is, let's do it.
Yeah, it's very simple.
I love that American. I wish I had more of that. Just do it. Just fucking do it. JFDI or whatever it is. Beautiful.
Well, there you go. It was quite a thing.
Quite a thing. So.
But yeah, so ESPN's really interesting. So they had World Championship Tetris, marble racing, marble Olympics.
Marble Olympics.
Oh, there's a thing called, you should check it out, there's a thing called Marbula One.
Marbula One.
It's Formula One, but with marbles. It's absolutely incredible.
How?
Well, we can watch this, Paul. I will send you
links. Yeah, please.
Because the thing that is most amusing about Marbula One is you watch one race.
From the name.
You watch Marbula One, and not only is production value really good, they have like safety marbles. If goes off the track,
bring out the safety marbles.
Yeah, they have stuff like that, but they have, like, you know, they have yellow flags and things. But irrespective of that, it's the amount of interest you have in those marbles. God damn, you believe in those marbles. After three
laps, my marbles.
After three laps, you are invested in what's going to happen in this match.
Wait, just flicking them, are you?
No, you start them going at the start of the course. They have a conveyor, they have all sorts of stuff. It's like a 14 lap race.
Oh, I don't think I can cope with this. Life's too short. It sounds brilliant. If I was drunk enough, I'd probably watch it, but I'm not.
We can do it. I'm sure we'll go away together at some point. And
you can show you some Bruno.
Did you ever see that program, like the Pub Games program from the 70s?
Yes, I do actually know what you're talking about. It's appropriately miserable and northern. It reminded me of a conversation with you.
It was like an average time. They were just playing all kinds of like bar billiards, fucking.
It's the one where they started off, where he's like, yup. That's the intro to the actual show.
Yup. He was brilliant. Yeah, you've got what you. It's probably not your. You watched Fred Dibner recently.
Yeah, like that. So Hannah, like, where did that go? Yeah, Hannah's found a funny Jim all painted T-shirts. I should have worn that today.
What for nonsery?
No, Jim will paint it. Is like
Jim
an old
painter. Is
not Jim will fix it.
Not Jim will fix it. Jim will paint it.
Who's Jim?
Just some artist.
Is he painted?
Some artist dude.
Some artist dude. Yeah. I should have worn that today. Never mind. Hannah was scrolling through them and saw this and said, "Oh, Paul, look at this." And I was like, "And it's Fred Dibner with a pint, like giving the thumbs up, while the Tower of Sauron is being brought down." By like a fire underneath its scaffold.
Set fire. Yeah.
Like, while the hobbits in Smeagol.
You have to understand, like, she's from the north. Yeah. Fred Dibner was probably a crush.
And I was looking at this and I was like, I have no idea who that guy is. Who's
legend.
Who's
Fred? You don't know Fred Dibner?
No, I didn't. I was like,
steam engine enthusiast.
Who
proper
is
nerd.
That? And Hannah was like, you don't know who Fred Dibner is? And I was like,
he used to bring chimneys down with a hammer and a fucking chisel.
So then,
this is a day you almost became single.
Yeah. So then she was like, right, have a look at a couple of these videos. And it was amazing that like this guy with zero health and safety.
Yeah.
Zero health and safety.
And it's just like scaling up these ridiculously high
steeplejacks.
Chimneys.
Yeah.
To then take them down brick by brick. And it was like, oh my, look at, how does he get up there with such huge brass balls? Like,
the thing was, he was a big drinker, so half the time he'd be fucking hungover in the morning.
And he's like, oh, I've had a... And people like, in commentary, even then, it's like, this guy is a bit remarkable. You know, like, and they're like, how are you doing that? It's like, I've had a few, taken the edge off it. You know, like, and there's this bit where he's filming, I don't know what he was filming from, another building maybe, but yeah, it wouldn't have been a helicopter because it was the 70s. And he's scaled up this chimney and he's got to get over the scaffold, so he's going out, it's climb out, and the scaffold is tricky as fuck.
It's like homemade scaffolding.
Unbelievable.
The best one you can find is one where he's going up this old mountain. He's got like an overhang and he has to go in the other, which means he has to have a ladder which kind of goes sideways, like across the overhang, and he's like hanging upside down kind of thing as he goes up, and you're like, Fred, your fall is quite significant.
There's no safety harness. He's not tied into anything.
Yeah, if he falls, he falls. Yeah, if you fall, you am dead.
It makes one mistake, he's gone.
Fred's dead, baby.
And apparently, my wife's like, grandfather was like, was really into this guy, and they used to go watch him do
with
things.
The steam engines. He used to have steam engines.
Yeah, traction engines.
Yeah,
traction
engines. Just like, I mean, all right, come the hour, come the man. I guess when there were lots of these chimneys that need to be brought down, that was all brought down.
That's the northern way. It's an old Britain that Barry wishes was still the case.
I don't mind that. I don't mind a bit of health and safety when you saw what he did.
I was just amazed. I was like, oh, that's unbelievable. Like,
what did he do for his butties? Did he have to climb back down to get his sandwiches? Fucking hell. It's a long way.
I mean, like, I don't know. Yeah. Wow.
Cool. Good old Fred Nibner.
I got given that T-shirt then as Christmas. I should have bought it today. I completely forgot.
But Jim will paint it, and I've still no idea what you're talking about.
That's just an online T-shirt company. Yeah.
Is it?
Just makes funny.
Is it an influencer? Is that where we are again? Who's Jim? What's he painting?
Jim is a
painting Boris's place again.
No. Jim is an old. Jim will paint it. Is an old Facebook thing from years ago.
It's not new.
Just miss me, but that's probably the painting bit. That's why it missed me. Anyway, well, I think we're somewhere near home now.
We're almost getting home.
Yeah, we're ready for your wrap.
Almost ready.
This is what the whole thing is. We've wrapped it. 2022, go away.
Like with a W wrap.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be, like,
like breakdance.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go,
old dirty bastard.
Yeah, I thought that was you. I thought you were going to turn gangster.
So
Barry P. Diddy.
Barry P. Diddy. Oh, he's changed his name now, hasn't he? Puff Daddy used to be P. Diddy, that's... Anyway, good stuff. So we'll see you in 2023.
Aye.
Hopefully, you'll see the video, hopefully, if it made it alive. I hope for Paul's sake it made it out alive, because it was very loud in there.
Yeah.
The lighting wasn't the best, but I hope it makes it. I hope it gets on YouTube, and I hope he enjoys watching it.
Well, I got the win for finally.
Got the W. Mm-hmm. Got the goddamn W. Although there was quite a lot of chat from the sides, wasn't there? Because Paul and Steve were asking a million fucking questions about their game.
I don't know if you know, you're just on this. I watched some of the old War Master podcast videos.
At
some point when I was painting models.
Oh, did.
A while back.
Of the podcasts?
Yeah.
The and video, guys, Zoom
ones. And you guys at the time were running a thing of saying, Orcs and Goblins can't ever win a game. who's the first one of us to win a game?
Yeah, but that was before Revolution. That was before Revolution.
See, look how the world has changed.
No half-paced moves.
Loser buys a winner a curry. Yeah.
Nobody got it.
No one won the prize.
So we're going for curry now.
No half-paced moves. Infantry were nowhere near as good as they are now.
Yeah, Paul. So exciting times. Barry's about to buy Paul and I a curry now.
I said that was long ago. That was in vanilla. Yeah. I still challenge you to win in vanilla with no optional rules.
That would be really hard.
Yeah, it would be really hard. Anyway, good stuff. See you next year.
Next year.
Would you like to know more?